10 seconds. I'm going to talk to us for a little bit. Then we'll do a more guided meditation today. The nature of your, of the Atma, of yourself, is so beautiful. It is so strong. Its expression is really the expression, an expression of natural warmth or natural caring, natural compassion. So these are all the positive gunas. They're positive gunas because in the objective manifestation of the creation, which includes the kind of objective manifestation of your mind, of the unconscious as a vehicle to hold all of the stuff that we have to hold. But the mind itself is a manifestation of Brahman because it's Maya, the whole Maya. Upadi includes your body, mind, sense organs, all of your capacities, all your mind. And so because it's an expression of Brahman, what is natural to you, to this upadi, to these upadis, is simply myself. The self which is Brahman, the self which is by nature full and whole and complete and strong. Sometimes Swamiji would say he's like a screwless screw. It's kind of a so funny idea there, but a screwless screw. Just think of a screw that you're screwing into the wood or something, you know. But then it gets stripped. And so it just screws. Nothing can happen. Nothing can happen. And so, like that, when things are coming into our mind and into our unconscious, you know, they can be allowed just to come in there without accomplishing their task, especially if it's something that I have, like, emotional reactions to or negative reactions to. All of those things, those pressures and worries, most of those are just fears. They come in, but they don't damage me. They don't hurt me at all. But they don't hurt me at all because my mind has understood and knows where its refuge is. It sees me, myself, either just as me, I am just myself, but the mind also has me for itself as its adhisthana, right? The mind, there's no distance between the mind and me. And so it doesn't even take time for the mind to as though resolve into myself because it's not away from me. It's kind of like the pot's not away from the clay. My mind is not at all away from my own swarupa. And so the mind's natural disposition with all of its Ishwara's glories, because it is Bhagawan, your mind is Bhagawan, your body is Bhagawan, this whole thing is just a manifestation we call Ishwara. Who I am is that strong, on the full, whole person. That is what's natural to me. That is what's natural to the Ishwara Swarupa. That is what's natural to my mind and buddhi, because the mind and buddhi is the Ishvara Swarupa, you know? It's objective, it's not subjective, your mind. And so, who I am and whom I'm comfortable being is just simply myself, which is Brahman. That is who I am. And so, from beginningless time, we don't know that until now. And so now, the mind has to, in recognizing and owning that knowledge, my raga dveshas, my likes and dislikes, they change. They slowly change to be directed toward myself, my own being, the ananda, to be directed toward Ishvara. That becomes my raga. There's no really dvesha even. That's the raga. Raga means that's what I want. I want to be myself. I want this body, mind, sense organs to be an expression of myself. An expression of myself is also an expression of Ishvara. This jiva, the upadis, are not subjective. Right, you can't say, oh, I think I'll take another upadhi right now. That would be subjective. Like, I'm having this imagination. Let's have another one. That's subjective. This is not subjective. This is Ishwara's upadhi. All of it, Ishwara's upadhi. See what I mean? But your mind is Ishwara's upadhi. It's all also not subjective. Your thoughts, what fills the mind, that is subjective. That's what we call pratibhasaka. The mind isn't. The buddhi isn't. The memory, the function that you have a memory, that's not subjective, that's Ishwara. But we have all of these capacities, all of these sukshma sharira and its capacities, you know, that takes body after body after body and enlivens the body, that's not subjective. I can't change that, you know, I can't change it by my will. I have it. I don't really have it. It is Ishwara. But I have it in terms of my own ego, the ahankara, I have this. But in reality, I don't have it at all. I don't have it at all. It's part of Ishwara. Everything that is not subjective is simply part of Ishwara. And so then I have to look at, okay, say this is all, this body, mind, sense organs, it's all really only Ishwara, because it's not subjective, it's not my subjective creation. So this is all just Ishwara. And then, who is Ishwara, really? Ishwara is me, it's Brahman. And so, what am I comfortable, how am I comfortable as just this jiva upadhi when it's Ishwara and when I am Brahman? That's it. So when my mind is just an expression of my being, it is so, so strong. In the Bhasha, they use this word. It is so strong, because it can't be moved, or its disposition of the self can never change, and its disposition is ananda, is wholeness. In the next verse, we'll see, it's vanam. Vanam means that which is most adorable, most beautiful, most desirable. That's the nature of myself. And so that beautiful nature of me is often, because of what we call the jiva srishti, born of ignorance, all of the projections that also exist within Ishwara, but Ishwara wouldn't identify with them. He would say, yeah, they exist in me, but they're yours. They're yours, born of ajnanam. And because they're yours, you can withdraw them. You can't withdraw your mind, so to speak, you know, because they're not yours, they're Ishwara's. But you can withdraw the jiva srishti easily, because the jiva srishti also has you for its being. And so even the jiva srishti, you know what I mean by that, the Ishwara's, the jiva's creations, you know, born of ignorance, your raga and dveshas, all of our fears and discomforts, all of the good things also, all of the things that we love, and the ways that our antakarna, our mind, can shine, and positive experiences that are there, that's all beautiful also. But when we're talking about the unconscious and the things that are kind of coming up and overwhelming us, they're most always negative. That's why they're in the unconscious. You're in the unconscious because your mind couldn't handle them when you were little, and so takes it away. And then it's just waiting down there for you to come and save it, basically. Come and save that little one, you know. Bring consciousness to that and have a clean, beautiful relationship where that little one can start to realize how loved they are. And that's all in the imaginal world of the unconscious, and that imaginal world is available to you to transform. Unlike the Ishwara Srishti, you're a part of that, it's not available for you to transform. But the imaginal world and the stuff that's stuck in the unconscious, which causes pain, it's just pain that has been swallowed because you weren't able as a child to handle it. And that pain, various little, you know, little lock boxes of pain, you know, being held down in the unconscious, are continually triggered by the world. For you, for the Atma, there's no trigger. You're non-dual. You're always the same. Atma's never triggered. The jiva upadhis, the Ishwara upadhi, the body mind, that's not triggered either. what is triggered is really, you can say my mind, but the mind in just its natural state is fine. It has no problem at all. It's not really the mind that is triggered. Not at all. The mind, which is the natural condition of your mind, is shanti. Something has to be triggered for that ashanti to come. And so, really, the ashanti, you know, that agitation and hurt, that comes because of triggers. If it's just something out here with no trigger inside, no unconscious death inside, it causes very little problem, really. You can still remain strong because your mind is strong. Right? Your mind is strong because its swabhava, its adhishtana, is the self. And the self is very strong. The self is not having projections or reactions or anything like that. It simply is. So the untriggered mind, you know, is really akin to the jnani's mind. Because for the jnani, these triggers and these projections, even if they are there, are mitya, so easily withdrawn. For an ajnani, the triggers appear to be real. The emotions appear to be real. I experience them as real. I experience them as real because they're occurring in the mind, right? So my mind is like this now, and I'm identified with the mind. So I experience myself in all of these different ways of upset or as angry or as hurt or as afraid or worried. All of these are projections, actually. And almost, I won't do an absolute statement, but almost invariably, those worries have their basis in projection. Means they're there in an unmanifest form in the unconscious. Different forms of fears and hurts and worries, most of which we gather when we're young. That's why when we're doing this inner child work, we're going into the unconscious, we're going into the little ones inside, into all the lock boxes, where these little ones are sequestered in the body, actually. And we're going in, coming into relationship with them, where the pain actually is. It's not actually out here. These can be triggers out here, but the triggers are triggering what's inside, you know. And so as we gain self-knowledge, there's a couple of things that happen. First of all, you have access to your own being as you are. You recognize that your mind, when it's just at home, you know, without these triggers, without these raga dveshas, you're fine. You're Ishwara, actually. There's no jiva srishti there. You're just abiding as Ishwara, that the self of the creation is Ishwara, yourself is Ishwara. There's only one self. And the mind is in harmony with that. It just simply is. Just simply sitting there. Your mind is just nicely abiding and doing what is to be done, whatever the creation is asking for at moment to moment to moment. You can be asking for lots of different things. And that's what you find yourself engaged in. But not with binding desires. The non-binding desires, you remember from the Mangalam, the non-binding desires are like screwless screws. They don't cause any problem because if Bhagavan wants things to be different, okay, then we just adjust. We adjust our position because the things that are happening are changing. We just simply adjust the position. So this is all to say we have some... When you gain this knowledge, we still have an unconscious. We still have raga dveshas, which are really, I would say, a direct relationship to our unconscious, what's inside. I need this, and I have to get rid of this, and stay away from this, and let me have this. It's all kind of manipulating the world according to my inner likes and dislikes, you know, so that I can be comfortable, right? Whereas in truth, I need nothing to be comfortable. That big comfort is my swarupa. That's my actual nature. And my mind doesn't need anything to be comfortable because it's mitya and it has no being other than my comfortable self. The mind needs nothing. The mind is already just Bhagavan. It's just Ishwara. It's the unconscious We're all of the, because we're born as little Ajnanis, or we've been born, so we're all born as little baby Ajnanis, and as we grow up, we become older and older Ajnanis, having taken in all kinds of problems. So we need to take care of those problems. Just like if your body is sick, you need to take care of those problems. It's asking to be taken care of. If your mind is hurting, so this is a beautiful analogy because it takes away the ego or the ahankara. Oh, I'm not good enough, or my mind isn't pure enough. Or it's like saying, you know, my body, for heaven's sake, it's not always healthy like it should be. We don't even think like that. When your body is not well, then immediately you just take care of it. When your child is not well, you take care of it. It's just what you do. Body is the same way. You know, we have to take care of it. That's what we do, and we don't think about it. But what about when your mind is hurt or angry or upset or feeling alone or feeling isolated? Then we don't necessarily, until we know, we don't necessarily just jump into taking care of it, because I'm identified with it. If I'm identified with it, I can't take care of it. Someone has to take care of me, me the mind. I have to be taken care of. I can't take care of it. But as we gain this knowledge, we're also gaining the skills to know that when the mind is upset, or whether it's hurt or lonely or isolated, all these human natural feelings that all beings have, if they're not related directly with Ishvara, with the self, then they're absolutely natural. What is different for us as we gain this knowledge is that we also have differentiated myself from all of these types of issues that come up, all of them, all the different varieties of hurts and pains. And so we learn also that all of those things are really triggered by the world, but they don't belong to the world. They're triggered by people. Somebody raised their eyebrow in the wrong way, you know. Somebody behaved in a way that makes me afraid. But I have to recognize that, you know. I have to recognize my feeling. You can recognize what the trigger is, but it is very ineffective to blame the trigger, because the trigger is not the problem. So the trigger has to take all of the blame, and we bypass the problem. And so what we learn to do, like I've given some phrases that I personally use, like if something hurts me or something going on, I'll just go right to it. Just automatically, and you either are doing that now or you will be, because that's what's curative. You go right to that problem, and you just say, okay, what's this really about? And you go there as an inner friend, as a good mother, as someone who cares. You go there as your Ishtadevata, something that the unconscious can trust, and you just say, what's the matter? What's really bothering you? A good one is to say, what are you really afraid of? Because most of the problems that we have, or the reactions that we have, are fear. They're just different forms of fear. I'm afraid of losing something, and what I'm afraid of losing is myself, the well-being that is natural to me. But as a jnani, you start to know and recognize myself, the well-being that is natural to me, and then as an inner friend, not losing yourself, you can go and be with the little ones inside, or you can do different types of work with, if somebody out here becomes a trigger, you know, say somebody becomes a trigger and hurts your feelings, or you want to get away from them or whatever. To me, that all that means is that trigger, I've come into relationship with a trigger. And the outside is the inside. There's no really difference. The whole thing is happening. It's all subjective. So we have a subjective subjective experience that was triggered out here. And so you have a difficult relationship with this person. So type of inner child work, you can actually sit internally with that person or situation, it's usually a person of one sort or another, and actually tell that person everything that you're afraid of and what's bothering you and what's hurting the little ones. You say directly to that person. And then you let that person respond to you, which they will. That person will respond to you because you've interjected them as you have all of your experiences. So they're there inside of you. But what happens is that that person who's outside, who's now inside of you, is now a carrier of your fear. Do you understand? They're the ones that triggered all that fear or all that hurt. So now that image is a carrier of those emotions. And so what happens then is when you see that person, those emotions are what arise. Or if you do a meditation with that person, you're meditating or having a relationship, internal relationship with the person that is the carrier of your unconscious problems. But they're embodied in that person so that you don't have to experience them yourself, you experience it in the form of that person. See what I mean? So what's good about that is a couple of things. One is to go ahead and let that person be the carrier for a little while, you know, and then come into a relationship saying everything that that person makes you feel. And then let that person tell you the same thing. And then you offer that internalized, actually, relationship up to Bhagawan after you've had this rather deep communication. That tends to have some beautiful effect. The other thing, one thing that I like that is easy, we've tried it once in here, is that if there's a person who is causing reactions in you, I would say triggering fears and reactions in you, it's sometimes nice just to sit with yourself and be with yourself, invoke that inner friend, you know, and then imagine, get the image of that person who's the carrier of your unconscious. It's good to think about it like that. You get the image of that person who's the carrier of your unconscious problems, and just be an inner friend and totally welcome all of those problems in the form of that person. You just let that person be there. You just let the buddhi relax, and you just sit there with that image and with those fears and agitations and hurts that are evoked. And you just sit there with it, you know, relaxing, allowing it to be, welcoming it, not pushing it away. And as your mind, this is just to kind of understand the psychodynamics of the mind, as your mind sits there with that image and the mind is not pushing it away and is relaxing, then the very reason for the experience of all of these words that we call anxiety or hurt or fear or whatever they are, you know, frustration, whatever they are, those are just different forms of tension in the mind. We have names, a lot of names for them. And so when you're sitting, relaxing, just a welcoming all of those feelings and continuing to let the buddhi relax, all those feelings in time will dissipate. And then what's happened is that you have been able, what you have accomplished is you have cleaned the projections off of that image. And so now you're free to be, in the presence of that person without the projections that have been loaded on it by your unconscious. See? Because you should be like Swamiji, a screwless screw. You can be with anybody. It doesn't make any difference who they are. Because they don't change yourself. And they don't come into your interior to kind of do something bad to yourself. And if your mind has a proper attitude means one that allows me to keep my shanti, then how Swamiji would say this in his language, you're able to keep everybody outside. Allow them to be as they are. Allow them to have their own feelings, to be what they are. It doesn't hurt you in any way. And so when that's the case, then in this verse we'll be doing probably this afternoon, everyone wants to be with you, right? You're tadvanam. You are the most adorable. Why? Are you not physically adorable? Okay. you are the most beloved, you are the most adorable, because there's no distance, there's no rejection at all. There's no pushing away, because that is not the nature of the self. The nature of yourself is vanam. It's everyone is welcome. Every situation is welcome. It has no preferences. And the nature of yourself is ananda. And so then everybody wants to be with ananda. So you want to be with them, they want to be with you. It's no problem. That's what we want. These projections that we have, the unconscious traumas that we have, that's fine. Of course we do. It's Kali Yuga. You know, of course we have our basket of ills. We're not going to not have them. But the thing is with knowledge, as we learn how to work with those things, you know, it's they become welcome themselves. They all become welcome. And so they're just another experience in Kali Yuga that we know how to deal with. It's not that I become that. I know how to be with that. That's the difference. If I know how to be with that, nothing's happening to me, because I'm being with it. I'm not being it. I'm being with it. So we get in the habit of being able to do that. Okay. So with all of that, let's just take about 15 minutes just to be with ourselves, utilizing any of those things I talked about in a way that's real to you. And it's a shut.